I want to thank you for listening to us on the Jefferson Exchange today and continue with the smoke story right now, because our region is a great place to live much of the time and also a target for tourists to visit. But when we spend a month in the middle of summer with fires burning all over the region and depositing smoke all over the landscape, it's a lot harder to appreciate the region's wonders. A couple of quick examples: cancellations of performances at the Outdoor Theater of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, smoke on the rafting rivers, and a one-week shutdown for firefighting on the Rogue, and the Brit Festival Orchestra not playing a single outdoor concert this year. So let's get deeper into the details of the impacts and talk about how tourism promoters deal with the reality of this summer in our region. Two guests with us: Catherine Cato is with the Ashland Chamber of Commerce, and Travel Ashland in the studio with me. Catherine, thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Bob Hackett is with us as well with Travel Southern Oregon. Thank you for joining us in the studio.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So tell us about the region. Travel Ashland's pretty clear, but let's talk about Travel Southern Oregon and the extent of what you do.
Sure. Travel Southern Oregon is one of the seven RDMOs in the tourism world in Oregon, which is a regional destination management organization. Each of the seven have a contract with Travel Oregon, which is the state tourism office. Our area includes Douglas, Josephine, Jackson, Klamath, and Lake counties. And so we're a five-county region. And so in addition to working up with the state and leveraging state resources to bring it to the region, we also work with DMOs like Catherine and Medford and Grants Pass and Jacksonville, and really foster partnerships to help move things up the line too. So we go both ways.
All right. So what are you hearing from across all the counties that Travel Southern Oregon deals with?
Well, Douglas County is doing very well right now. I think a strategy, to get back to your initial point, how do you respond to these kinds of situations to visitors? And that is, first and foremost, we want them to have a positive Oregon experience. And it's not just about Southern Oregon. We really have an Oregon hat on. So I think most of us are very comfortable sending people to the coast, sending people up to the Umpqua River, up into Douglas County, and up into the Willamette Valley, if you're looking for a place with no smoke. We don't have a perception problem. We have a reality problem. And so as you mentioned, all of us on our websites are trying to be very transparent with visitors, what they're coming into, how to get the information they need to make the decisions they want. The worst thing that could happen is someone comes and has a bad experience in Oregon. And so that's a collective issue. I mean, right now it's us in Southern Oregon. Last year, the Millie Fire up in Central Oregon, Chetco Bar over on the South Coast. We are all in it together. And our friends in California too. I mean, there's no line that separates us.
You remind me too, though, that my memory got unhooked from this season and started thinking about last year, and the fact that the Cycle Oregon was actually supposed to come to Southern Oregon and canceled in September because of smokes. I mean, it's not just a concern for what it seemed like it was an August and September concern in previous years, but I mean, you're talking more time in the year now too, aren't you, with the fire season essentially starting earlier?
Oh, of course. Yep. And the Ride the Rim event that happens up at the Crater Lake, you know, Discover Klamath, our DMO partners in Klamath Falls, they spend a lot of time working with the Park Service to get those car-free days, September 8th, September 18th, I think. They carried on last year. They have 5,000 riders registered to come ride the rim, and they just have their fingers crossed that they can do this event.
I mean,
they're big impacts. Yeah, they're big impacts. And we have 5,000 people planning to do it. Do they come or not?
All right. So you have 5,000 people, and they're gonna bring a fair number of dollars to the region,
you bet.
I think. Mm-hmm. All right. We're talking about tourism in the region and the smoke and fire season. Bob Hackett with Travel Southern Oregon, Catherine Cato from Travel Ashland and the Ashland Chamber of Commerce. So what are some of the impacts? We mentioned about the Shakespeare Festival, but that must have a bit of a ripple effect, even though, I mean, people can come see a whole bunch of other plays that are in nice air-conditioned comfort indoors at the Shakespeare Festival.
Sure. I mean, Ashland welcomes over 400,000 visitors each year, and a third of them are coming for the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, with having to cancel over 17 of the performances in the outdoor theater. They are certainly trying their best in terms of moving at least 412 seats over to the Ashland High School. That said, things are changing. You know, we are seeing businesses down anywhere from 10 to 50%. There's certainly a variance. And I'd say Ashland does have a fortunate element in terms of the cultural and the culinary amenities. You know, spas are busy right now because people want to be indoors. Those with at the wineries that are making the most of the indoor air quality are trying to make the most of it. But no matter how you slice it, July and August, when that highest occupancy, highest per night room rate, many folks are used to making the most of their business in that summertime. So there's a strategy shift, a solution to look towards in the future. But right now we're seeing it. There's, you know, we at the Chamber and Travel Asham, we're a sounding board. We are there to listen and to support. And there's a huge variance. I mean, if a business welcomes primarily an OSF playgoer, they are seeing, you know, a dip for sure. Our outdoor industry, many are attracted to our outdoor industry. I know Mount Ashland Hill Climb had to cancel. And then we have the even the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument. We have a small bike event up and down. You go up and down around the monument. But a lot of outdoor events for the health of people. Mount Ashland webcam has become important because I went up a few weeks ago. It was like an island in the sky up above that smoke. So a lot of wayfinding for people. And we're seeing less last-minute travel because everyone's their own travel agent. They can kind of make their own decision. And we're also seeing we've had such a value of staying downtown, being walkable distance to the theater. We're digging deeper into that data of actually the highway hotels right now are able to backfill a little bit of what they're losing because of the strong traffic on I-5. That said, it's not an end all, but we're seeing a shift. So we're really coming together as a community and looking together as how we can really promote fall, winter, spring.
When you're saying that you're here to listen and to support, you mean to the businesses involved?
Yes. I mean, we have over 700 members at our Ashland Chamber of Commerce, but also, you know, anyone affected. And it's not just the first layer of the tourism industry that actually welcomes that visitor. Then you have the people that, the farms that support the restaurants, right? And that it's yet to be seen the effect of what's going to happen.
Who is taking it the hardest then? Is it the people with lodging?
Well, I'd actually... hard to say. I'd say, you know, you take any outdoor dining, you take less foot traffic. That's going to affect retail for sure. But again, there's a variance. Lodging is definitely taking a huge hit because people are canceling. People are maybe shortening their stays as well. We do have a resilient visitor that they're here and they're going to make the most of it. So Oregon Cabaret is quite busy at this point because they are indoors. Alternative, you know, things to do. Everyone is taking a hit. And I know the folks on the Rogue River, those at the Wild and Scenic have been able to keep running, where the day trips, NOAAs and other people have really taken a hit. So, I mean, you know, our major amenities are majorly affected at this point. So we have to really think wisely as what's going to become that new norm.
Come back to that reference, if you would, about the Oregon Shakespeare Festival with the Allen Elizabethan Theater closing down when the air quality gets into the unhealthy zone, which has done 17 times now, you said? And you mentioned the Ashland High School thing. So they're actually moving the performances over to the high school?
Yes. From what I understand, currently they make a decision around noontime each day because they are putting the actors in costume because they are trying to make the most of it. So as opposed to 1,200 seats... over at the Allen Elizabethan Theater, they're able to seat 412 at the Ashland High School. So they have been able to welcome folks over there. I mean, that's a solution they've created, but there is a significant financial loss every time they have to cancel a play.
Bob Hackett, you used to work at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, is that right? So
were
you part of that whole process ever?
Fortunately for me, you know, not this year because it's twice as bad already as the worst year ever was. Last year, the festival canceled 9 performances. They're already at 18. Tonight, I imagine, will probably be canceled as well. So right now, they've doubled it, and it's only August 16th. And so moving into Ashland High, they can keep from refunding a third of the ticket sales, but still patrons get those four options. They can refund, they can exchange into a show that has available seats that night, they can get a voucher for next year, or they can donate it to the festival. And so...
I had heard the Shakespeare Festival was talking about opening the outdoor theater earlier next year, in May rather than in June. Is it something?
Well, they are doing that.
That is going to happen. Okay.
Yeah. So that was a strategic adjustment that turns out to, you know, have a very good basis in reality to do that.
Tourism is big in our region and is taking a hit, as you're hearing, from fire and smoke around us. We're talking to Bob Hackett at Travel Southern Oregon and Catherine Cato at the Ashland Chamber of Commerce and Travel Ashland. Your thoughts are welcome. I mean, talk about the situations you've gotten into, things that you have changed in the way of perhaps your own travel plans or people who are going to come see you and visit and decided to change their plans. We'd like to hear your stories or ask your questions here at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. And Catherine, you were talking about how people do kind of figure out their own things to do. We did have some friends visit us who had come up to see a bunch of Shakespeare plays. One of them was an outdoor play, so they missed that one. And then while they were here was when the car fire burned into Reading, and so the train they had taken up from L.A. was no longer available to go back in the other direction because Amtrak stopped going through Reading for a few days around it. So, you know, they managed to keep a pretty good upbeat attitude about it, but I wonder if you're getting some super frustrated tourists as well.
Well, we certainly are. I mean, people are concerned about their health first and foremost. And we, you know, in Ashland, we do have a older clientele that is concerned about air quality. So we're doing a lot of wayfinding for folks in terms of, gosh, maybe I should take the coastal route back if I'm making a loop. A lot of different wayfinding. But most of it, a lot of it is education, you know, not only for our visitors, but also for our businesses and employees. Smokewiseashland.org. is a website we launched, Fire Prevention Task Force, on how to properly wear a mask. You don't just hold it on your face. You don't put it on the top of your head. No, I'm just kidding. You probably have to fit it, and also air quality indoors. So we're caring about all the different layers, and certainly that visitor experience. Like Bob said, you know, they come, they have a negative experience. It's hard to undo that. So how do we create a positive, authentic experience for them to come? And a lot of it's perspective. A lot of it's relative. They come from a place that has smog or they've been in the fires. Reading is a huge market for us. We welcome a lot of folks from Reading. So, you know, we've had evacuees come up here or people who have helped other people and then gotten away, so to speak, from Reading to come up here too. So, again, Eugene and Reading are huge markets that we're going to pay attention to and help support and reach out to.
Are they a little more flexible, a little more forgiving in a sense because of the fact that they do know what the situation can be in the region in the summer, particularly in Reading?
Yes, and then like Bob said, there's no lines. I mean, we're all in this together. So somebody coming up, about 60% of at least Ashland's visitor base comes from Northern California. Many of those are in that fire, so they know that. So there's definitely an awareness going on with our visitor base, I would say, in a large part of that.
Yeah, and the people, I think by and large, the visitors do figure it out, and we try to communicate as well. There is a real harm happening to tourism partners. I mean, you know, the going forward, there are some changes that are really impacting places like the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, the Brit Festival. Galise Lodge was closed for 10 days. You know, 70 employees had to walk away.
And they gave their food away, I understand.
Yes, they gave their food away. Mm-hmm. Crater Lake is down 22% just in the month of July in terms of visitation. The King of the Rogue event, the Whitewater event at Gold Hill this weekend, canceled. So the ongoing perception of Southern Oregon as a very clean, healthy, wonderful recreation spot is the challenge to push that out in a very honest way. We paused some of our campaigns in San Francisco. Why talk to Northern California right now and tell them how great we are when it's the same thing down there?
Right, they know right? the same story, sure.
So we got to wait for a different news cycle to begin actually talking about it. Our friends at Travel Oregon are ready to help us push out that message come the fall to do that. But The new situation is in our Travel Southern Oregon role very it's a little bit challenging trying to communicate with legislators, trying to figure out, you know, what does everybody just have to go it alone? Like, okay, Shakespeare, you just lost $2 million. Sorry. How as a society do we respond to these kinds of challenges for a very important industry? I mean, the tourism was a $1 billion industry in Southern Oregon in 2017. So $1 billion came into these five counties. If there's a 20% hit, just do the math. That's $200 million, right? That go somewhere and they go to the coast or they go up. And that's okay for the state of Oregon. So when you look at macro data, you might not see sort of the micro hits that various people are taking on a regional level.
Does it make any difference when you've got smoke all across the state of Oregon? Because with wildfire smoke now coming down from British Columbia, there is, as of yesterday anyway, there was really no place in Western Oregon that was smoke-free. Everything seemed to be at least moderate, if not into the unhealthy for sensitive groups range.
Correct. And I think that there's a general consensus among tourism partners, visitors, legislators, and residents that something has to change. I mean, we're in 2021, Eugene is hosting the World Track and Field Championships. The largest sporting event in the world in 2021 is the middle of August in Eugene, in 2021. So everybody looks at this and go like, well, and part of that is that countries will come and train. They will train in Klamath Falls. They'll go to Roseburg. They'll go to Coos Bay and be there for a month getting ready. Well, if you're Southern Oregon, how do we sell this? Come Cameroon and train your sprinters at SOU for the month prior to the World Track and Field Championships. There's a bigger picture, and I think we're all trying to figure out how to, A, solve the reality problem, and then B, how to message through it.
And what kinds of answers are coming up when you guys talk about solving the reality problem? We're talking about, what, changes in forest management or something?
It's complicated. I mean, you know, it's a little disheartening sometimes. You talk to congressional members, they say, oh, it's in the Senate, and then you talk to people in the Senate, oh, it's in the House. Unfortunately, there's a little bit of finger-pointing going on about how to solve what is essentially a forestry issue. And as my colleagues up at Travel Oregon say, you know, as an industry, we need to stay in our lane. We don't do forestry. We don't do legislation that way. So, but we see our role as just pushing the issue and the reality of the problems up to experts who can help us figure this out.
We mentioned the places that closed. Galise Resort closed for 10 days when the Rogue River was closed downstream of Grants Pass for the firefighting operation to go on. So I'm sure there have been layoffs. I mean, do we have some idea of how many people might be idled by smoke at this point, just in terms of employee numbers?
Well, at Galise Resort, just for example, there were 70 employees that had to go home. And so have they brought back all of them? Probably not. At this point, I've just anecdotally talked to some restaurants. It's the outdoor dining. I think if you talk to a lot of restaurants in Ashland, the indoor dining could be strong, but they just don't need the service force to manage an outdoor and an indoor venue.
We are talking about tourism in Southern Oregon and the big impact it takes from the fires and smoke around the region. Bob Hackett is with Travel Southern Oregon. Catherine Cato is with Travel Ashland. Grab your headphones because we have some phone calls to take at 800-838-3760. And an email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Derek in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. I hate to be the guy that drops the terminology new normal into this discussion, because I know there's a lot of pushback on that. But 20 years ago, when I was in forestry school in Montana, it was widely accepted and had been for a while that since the 1910 10 a.m. suppression policy for fires, that we have created an environment that things are just going to burn despite what we have done. The solution, I mean, you can't suppress your way, nor can you log your way out of this problem. And the solution, I think, from most knowledgeable people, is that you're going to have to burn your way out, and that may not be that may not even be enough.
All right. Derek, let me take it over from here because we're running out of time. This has been suggested before. In fact, we ran a piece a few months ago about the question is when in the year you want your smoke. Because to take care of some of the heavy growth out there, you might have to deal with smoke in the winter rather than smoke in the summer. I mean, is this something as tourism people you really get into a discussion about?
We've been interfacing with this a lot with the Ashland Forest Resiliency Project, which is very successful. We are managing our Ashland watershed, and so we do have those controlled burns in the months where you can have that. So you know, we talked about those smoke events and preparing for that as positive smoke to alleviate ourselves from this type of smoke. But we are in a basin, so we are at the mercy of all that wind pushing those fires that aren't quite near us into our valley.
Yeah, it's hard to explain to people that there's no fire within about 8 miles of Ashland city limits, and yet still you got all this smoke in here, which gets people a little scared. Is there disaster relief money available? I remember when there was a rogue shutdown a year or two ago during firefighting season that I do remember hearing something about Small Business Administration loans, grants, something like that to help some of the people in the rafting business. Bob Hackett, is the SBA involved in helping tourism businesses get impacted as they have been heavily by smoke and fire?
Not to my knowledge. I mean, I know that my colleague Brad Niva, who I work at Travel Southern Oregon with, he had Rogue Wilderness Adventures back in 2013, was on the verge of bankruptcy, and it was very, very hard to figure out how to get money to keep going. And I think that's part of the evolving conversation at the legislative level, because as Derek says, the new normal isn't just a forest issue. It's also an economic issue. And
a climate issue, too, I'd point out.
It's a climate issue, absolutely.
A lot of hotter days and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I noticed that both of you, as we'd mentioned earlier, you're very upfront about this on websites. It's right there. It's like what to do about smoke, that sort of thing. What about social media outreach? I haven't taken a look at that. What kinds of things do you say on social media? Because there's a different sort of tone to social media than there is.
Well, let's say we definitely work hard collectively, regionally and nationally, in welcoming a lot of travel writers and getting that editorial and that third party. So we've actually had a lot of articles coming up about our region that our work, it's results of welcoming people throughout this past year. So sure, we'll take Austin Food Magazine saying we're awesome. We'll take Vogue Magazine saying, you know, our region is great, because that is what's true in a collective message once that smoke clears. So it's not saying you have to be authentic, you have to be real, but why don't we share some articles that do talk about the true value of our region? And to me, that's what we've been doing lately, but just to be honest about things.
You're confronted with this all the time. Do you get up every morning and look outside and go, oh boy, here we go again?
Yeah, another day in District 13, right?
Is that what it feels like? Like being part of the Hunger Games? Wow, okay. That's our chat with Bob Hackett and Catherine Cato as we talk about the situation with smoke and fire in the region. It's going to continue for a while longer, as we expect. No particular reason to think that the smoke is going to let up anytime soon, particularly when you've got one of the larger fires in the region, the Klondike Fire, only 15% contained and at least burning into old burn scars and where the Biscuit Fire was and things like that. So thank you both for joining us. Catherine Cato, Ashland Chamber, Travel Ashland, good to see you.
Thank you so much.
Bob Hackett, Travel Southern Oregon, glad to have you here.
Thank you so much.